Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Welcome in to the Monday Morning Quarterback Podcast. It is September 13th, a Wednesday, as we are barreling toward week 2, which of course will be opened up by the Eagles and the Vikings on Thursday night. And you can go to SI.com and you'll be able to read the columns that Gilberto Manzano and I, Matt Verderam, right on that game. And hopefully that game is a little bit calmer and more injury-free than Monday night, which turned into a fire drill. As you know, we're before the game, a little peek behind the curtain. So Gilberto and I are in charge of the Monday night and Thursday night games, and we're figuring, okay, like, who wants to write which team? How do we want to do this? And Gil, you left it up to me. You're like, which one do you want? So I don't care either. Bills fans have had a love-hate relationship with me for years. So I said, what the hell? I'll take the Bills. I'll have some fun with it. And then 4 plays into the Jets' offensive season, Aaron Rodgers blows out his Achilles tendon. He is, of course, gone for the year. The Jets then, against all odds, win the game as the Bills did everything they could to donate the game to the Jets. And so we'll get into all that, but let's start there. So Rodgers gone for the year after 4 offensive snaps. What do the Jets do from here now? Of course, they have Zach Wilson on the roster, have Tim Boyle. There are some guys in free agency out there like a Carson Wentz. If it were you, would you go with Wilson or would you go with an outside guy?
Yeah, first of all, Matt, thanks for reminding me how chaotic that Monday was for us. Our first Monday Night Football at SI, and I made the wrong decision of getting the Jets. There was just too much going on. We even had like an emergency phone call to figure out what's going on with Aaron Rodgers. So it was really chaotic, and it's unfortunate for Aaron Rodgers as well. And the second I saw him on that cart, he didn't want to look up. He looked down. You knew it was bad. And I know a lot of people out there want to pretend to be doctors, but this one we all knew was going to be the worst case scenario. But yeah, for a second, you know, I thought, go ahead and give Zach Wilson a chance. He's the number 2 pick in 2021. Like, you invested a really high draft pick on him. Maybe this is the way his story comes out. This is a big opportunity for him. And the way I wrote my column was like, you know, the one person who actually believes in Zach Wilson is Aaron Rodgers. He wouldn't be with the Jets, I believe, if it wasn't for him being his friend at a joint scrimmage 2 years ago and keeping contact. And that's a lesson for everybody. Keep in contact with the guys who know what they're talking about, the well-experienced people. And it worked out for Zach Wilson. And then he just threw that brutal interception. I don't know what he was thinking. I think Troy Aikman called it really terrible. Then the Jets fan threw the bird to the field, because that's just what Zach Wilson does to you. Those are the emotions that you get. So seeing that, I'm like, okay, they need somebody, but who can you really get? So, you know, maybe a competition to push him a little bit. And I say, go with Zach Wilson for now. But if you want to get aggressive, and no pun here, my first choice for the story that I wrote for options for quarterbacks was Jameis Winston, the guy who threw 30 interceptions in 2019. He has an issue with turning the ball over. And with the New Orleans Saints, so he's kind of been a little more timid. Maybe he's trying to get rid of that. But if you let that guy loose and you throw the ball downfield to Garrett Wilson, I think they can make something work. And then you have the defense to overcome that. But there's a lot of, you know, a lot, I'm not sure to say a lot of options, but they are options, but nothing really to the extent that might make a difference to become a Super Bowl contender. Yeah, maybe you could go get a Carson Wentz, but what would that do for you? Do you want to call Matt Ryan out of the booth, who could barely throw the ball a year ago? Joe Flacco, maybe I shouldn't even bring up that name. So maybe a trade could be the best way, but it's not looking good for the Jets when it comes to being like a Super Bowl contender, right?
No, their season's over. Let's be real about this.
Yeah.
They're not winning a Super Bowl with anybody that's playing quarterback for that team this year. Okay. I've already seen on the national talk shows, and it's, you know, the debate stuff, like, oh, well, you know, could this team still win with no, they can't. Like, can they win some games because of their defense? Sure. But are they gonna beat the top teams in that conference with Zach Wilson or Carson Wentz or Matt Ryan or Nick Foles? No. The Jets have two problems. They can't block anybody, which is part of the reason that Rodgers is out for the year. Okay, although on the play that he got hurt, to be fair, Dwayne Brown is supposed to be cut blocking. He tries to cut block. He doesn't cut block Leonard Floyd. Rodgers holds on to the ball. I mean, it was everybody's fault involved there. And then also at the same time, nobody's fault. I mean, it's a freak thing and it happens. You know, look, if I'm the Jets, I'm rolling with Zach Wilson. And I'm saying, we drafted you number two overall. We have to develop you, and this is your last shot. This is your opportunity. This is your moment. And if I'm Robert Saleh, I am saying to him, your job is to not screw this up. That's your job. Don't throw picks. I don't care if you throw a ball 30 yards into the stands. Fine. Let it rip, man. Throw it to some guy wearing a Wayne Corbett jersey in Yonkers for all I care. Don't get picked off. You can't have that Matt Milano pick. Like, that ball can't happen. Run it with Breece Hall and Dalvin Cook. Throw short, safe passes, and let that defense cook. That's how you got to win these games. You got to win these games 16-13. And that, look, the hard thing is, against really good teams, I don't care how good you are defensively, that's not going to happen every week. But that they've got to basically win the way they were winning last year before they went in the tank at the end. So it's disappointing. Super Bowl dreams are gone. Playoff dreams probably gone. But that's how they've got to play if they want any shot to get into the playoffs.
Yeah, you know, Super Bowl dreams are gone. I'm not ready to rule them out for, like, maybe a wild card. And it is overreaction week one, right? And I think it was Mitch that mentioned that the NFC went 4-0 against the AFC. And you got the 49ers, the Cowboys, and the Eagles. And suddenly the NFC looks like the better team. So maybe these AFC squads beat each other up, and if you got a, you know, dominant defense, and like you mentioned, just don't turn the ball over, maybe you get a 7 seed, and then you're out of the wild card. But what does that really get you at the end? And they do have the first round pick, right? So maybe you have something to play for, or I guess not to play for in the end.
Yeah, I mean, look, I definitely think that would be a week one overreaction if the NFC is better than the AFC. I think the AFC is pretty damn good. But yeah, man, I mean, look. Could they make the playoff? The hard thing is just the conference earning. They're in the NFC. I'd be like, yeah, they could.
Yeah.
Is it possible? Yeah. Defensively, they're an all-world defense. I mean, that team, they gave the Bills everything they could handle and then more than they can handle in the end. But it's a gut punch for a franchise that has been nothing but star-crossed since they pulled the biggest upset in NFL history in Super Bowl III. I mean, they have done nothing since then. They've not gotten back to the Super Bowl. They've gone to, I believe it was 4 AFC title games since. They had the back-to-back ones with Mark Sanchez, where they lost to Indianapolis and to Pittsburgh. They lost in 82 to the Dolphins in that famous AJ Dewey game. And they lost up in Mile High in 98. And you know, you look at it, none of those games were at home. Like, they haven't had a home AFC championship game since 1968, when it wasn't even the AFC championship game. It was the AFL championship game. So it has been a long, hard, sad road for Jets fans, and they finally had some real hope they could go to a Super Bowl, and then that happens. So let's wrap it on here, on this part of it with Rodgers. I mean, does he ever play again? He's going to be 40 this fall. He's coming off an Achilles tear. Do you think we ever see him on a field?
And real quick, man, just to kind of echo what you said, and it's so wild to me that, you know, Rodgers wanted to have something perfect for the Jets quarterback wise, and I'm like, okay, he's a newcomer here. Like, you can't go 3 years of Rodgers and 15 years of Zach Wilson to be a baller. It's not the Packers where you go with Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, and maybe Jordan Love. We'll see. But it's going to be tough, man. 39 years old to come back from an Achilles. You know, you hear a lot of time people say they're not the same until like at least a full year. So what would that be, 2 years for Rodgers? It would be 41. I guess, you know, if Tom Brady did it, that's, everybody says that. Like, it's, you could play till Tom Brady. He's 45. He did it. Nobody else is Tom Brady. So that's the strange part about it. But Rodgers is on that level. We'll see. And I think his good friend Pat McAfee was saying that he doesn't want to go out that way. We'll see what he says. But, you know, maybe it's fine. You know, he tried a different way. It didn't work out. And maybe he's content with that. I mean, remember, he was probably going to retire a year ago until the Packers pissed him off and he decided to try again. So maybe he goes back into the darkness and says, you know what, I'm content with what I did. I'd rather help this team on the outside and be a coach and see how it goes.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think, you know what, I'm sure he will try to come back. Whether or not he can, we're going to have to wait and see. Hopefully he can. Hopefully this is not the last time we see Aaron Rodgers on a football field. All right. Let's get into the rest of the AFC, although we're going to stick in this game to some extent here. So I'm going to posit this question as, week one is always weird, and this week one was no exception. At the same point, we saw the Chiefs lose a very tight game. Now, I'm going to exclude the Chiefs in this only because we talked about this on the Friday pod, and so I don't want to get too down the road on the Chiefs here. I think we both agree they'll be fine. The Bengals were roundhoused in Cleveland. Burrow was atrocious. I watched that entire game live. It was one of the games that I was super focused on because I was curious if Watson would play better this time around. He was so bad last year once he came back for those six games. I was curious what Burrow would look like. Well, the answer to that question, by the way, is Watson was awful. Watson, 16-29, 154, a touchdown and a pick. And I got to tell you, I watched that game. It looked so much worse than even those numbers. But then Burrow goes 14-31 for 82 yards. The Bengals score 3 points in a 21-point loss, 24-3. Of the heavyweights in the AFC, the top three teams going through the year, all three of them lost. But again, we'll put KC aside for a second. Who are you more concerned about? Is it Cincinnati or is it Buffalo?
For me, it's definitely Buffalo. Like, a year ago, Cincinnati went 0-2 and they won 12 of the last 14 games. And they're fine. And we've heard it for the last few years. Joe Burrow starts slow. You know, he can't stay healthy in the summer, but he figures it out by the third week of the season, and he's MVP candidate every single year. So, you know, I don't know what it is about with Josh Allen and the Bills, and, you know, there's some kind of disconnect there with Ken Dorsey, the OC. Like, what has Ken Dorsey done since he threw that, or he broke that tablet in the booth and he was, you know, angry in week one or week two of a year ago? Like, you know, it's always kind of something like about the offense is broken, you know, they can't push the ball down the field. And so I start to wonder, like, what happened to this new, you know, 12 personnel, two tight end sets, you know, with Knox and Dalton Kincaid, when all you're doing, Josh Allen, that is, just throwing it down the field for YOLO passes and saying, okay, Stephon Diggs, where are you? And then what happened to Gabe Davis? So if Josh Allen's not going to change his way of just being super aggressive, why not get some speedy receivers, go down the field? Instead, you invest in a tight end who you're not going to use properly. So that makes me feel like there's something there where there's no belief with the OC, but then again, Josh Allen will probably tell me that I don't know what I'm talking about. And maybe it's just him. When he gets into his mindset in the game, he just keeps doing too much in his head. Like, he's always been that guy, right? Going for the extra yard on the ground, just, you know, trusting his arm. He has a great arm. But there's something there where, like, he just does too much. But maybe there's more to it than that, where it could be something with the OC. And if this doesn't turn around, because now, Matt, like, it's been, what, you know, if you go back to last year, it's been half a year, and then the start of this year, like, it still hasn't been fixed. So what I guess it could maybe a change happening in a month if they don't figure out. I hate to talk that way, but there's something not connecting with the Buffalo Bills.
No, listen, I'm with you. It's definitely the Bills. And that, it's funny because if you looked at it on the surface, you'd say, well, how could you say that? You know, the Jets are expected to be a pretty good team. Obviously, of course, not now with Rodgers being out. But I think a lot of people going into the week would have been kind of shocked by that. The Bills, you know, they lost in overtime. The Bengals got clobbered. But I am with you 100% on this. Look, I wrote a column about this after the game, and the funny thing was, I started writing my column in the middle of the third quarter about how the Bills are probably going to win this game, but they're showing me every single thing that's been wrong with them the last couple of years and why they lose dumb games and why they lose in the playoffs. And I cited the Vikings game last year where they lost just in inexplicable fashion. They lost to Zach Wilson last year at MetLife. Allen had two picks in that game. They lost to Urban Meyer in a 9-6 game a couple of years ago. They lost that infamous 13 seconds game in Kansas City where you kick through the end zone and you give Mahomes two plays instead of one. Like, it's coaching and it's Allen with this nonstop hero ball mentality. Like, look, in that game on Monday night, the Bills, if you take Allen's rushes away, ran the ball 16 times in the game. You were winning the whole game. You're playing Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson has not proven or shown at any point in his pro career he can play football at this level to a reasonable extent. If you're the Bills, you would have been better off in that game kneeling on the football three times and punting it. Make Wilson go 80, 85 yards. He's not going to do it. Make him show that he can drive the Jets, which he did not do at all in that game for a large portion of the afternoon, or the evening rather. And yet, Allen's picks, they weren't deflected at the line of scrimmage. They weren't balls that went through a receiver's hands. You know, sometimes that happens and it's not on a quarterback. The first pick, he should have run for a first down, and he threw a ball that essentially was an arm punt. That was the least egregious of the three. The second one was on the Jets' side of the field. They were on, the Jets' 41 or 43-yard line. He throws the ball on second down into double coverage and gets picked off. They're 10 yards from a field goal that would have made it a 10-point game. That game's over at that point. There's no way the Jets are scoring twice. And then the third pick, which was the worst of them, third and two, he's got Knox and Dalton Kincaid open for a first down, and he throws a ball that has no chance of being completed. And you know as well as I do, on an outbreaking route like that, if you're going to miss, miss wide. You cannot miss field side on that throw. And he throws it to Whitehead, who had one of the greatest games you'll ever see from a safety. It's three picks. All that said, do I think the Bills make the playoffs? Yeah, I think they'll be there. But this is the kind of stuff. This is why I don't believe in the Bills in January. You don't see, like, Burrow had an awful game, but Burrow hasn't played in almost 2 months, and it was pouring rain. Okay, like, it doesn't excuse he was terrible, but, like, I can understand why he was terrible. Mahomes struggled, but they had 9 drops, and he played without Kelce. Like, I get it. Allen has no excuse for being that bad. I'm with you on Dorsey. Like, at some point, you've got to actually call a normal football game. It's got to have some cohesion. You know, in Cincinnati, they have an offensive coordinator. They also have an offensive-minded head coach. Same thing's true in Kansas City. There's some checks and balances there. There's no checks and balances in Buffalo because McDermott's a defensive head coach. So Dorsey is essentially the head coach of the offense. And it has gotten worse and worse and worse. I am concerned about the Bills. I think they make the playoffs. If they're going to actually go somewhere, if they're going to win a Super Bowl, you can't play like this. This is crazy. And the only way they were losing that game to the Jets was Allen doing what he did. 4 turnovers, giving them chance after chance. It was just an awful, awful, awful showing by Josh Allen.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, man. Like, if they don't become the team they were maybe, you know, 2 years ago, like, yeah, they got their hearts broken and to the Chiefs in that 13 seconds game, but they were an explosive offense. They were clicking. They were up there with the best of the best, going toe-to-toe, and then you're not that often. It's been almost 2 years now removed from doing that. So if they can't get back to that form, I don't think they have a chance in the AFC. And it's funny, like, they lost to the Jets. They are still better than the Jets. They're gonna probably make the playoffs. I don't know anymore about winning the division. The Dolphins look nice. We'll get to them probably a little later. But you got to get some other guys involved, too. Like, what's the point of, you know, investing that pick in James Cook if you're not going to use him?
Right.
And everybody who plays fantasy football is like, okay, James Cook could be on the rise this year. Not when he's playing with the Buffalo Bills and the Jets. Josh Allen, because they don't run the football, I guess, when it's not, you know, Allen taking the carry. So do a little. Sometimes a little less is fine. It's good. Maybe figure out a way to get Gabe Davis back involved. What happens is that game against the Chiefs where he got the 3 touchdowns, that monster game he had. So I get why Stephon Diggs was frustrated. I don't know if it was that so bad that he needed to get a trade or move on or whatever, but now we're starting to see why. There's just something there going on with Josh Allen, and he's a great quarterback. He's really good, but when you're making bonehead plays like that, and it's going to cost you the game, especially like you mentioned. In the playoffs, you're going to get nowhere with that, playing with against Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow. Like, what happened with the Bengals in the division round, we probably should have seen that a mile away. But at that point, it's kind of like, maybe they figure it out. Now it's starting to get to a point like they won't figure it out unless they make some kind of drastic change.
I hate to be that guy. I all week was getting screamed at by everybody that follows me on Twitter that are Bills fans, because I was like, the Bengals are winning this game. Anna Romo is going to put them in jail this entire game. And it's because it's so predictable. It's so, you know, the Bills need to develop a left hand on offense. That has to be something other than just, hey, Josh, listen, buddy, it's 3rd and 5 and we're gonna have you throw the ball over the mountains. Like, good luck. It can't be that all the time. Like, Mahomes has a ridiculous arm. Jalen Hurts has a really big arm. Justin Herbert has a huge arm. Not every ball has to be 40 yards downfield and some, like, it's watching Josh Allen play is like watching what Brett Favre would be like today. Right? You could do that in the 90s with Brett Favre, because the game was a little bit different. Brett Favre got away with it more often. And also, by the way, back then, teams turned the ball over more because fumbles were more common because of the way the rules were. And quarterbacking wasn't as good, so there were more picks. If Favre played today, he would still be great. He would throw 25 interceptions a year. Okay, Allen has led the league. ESPN had a graphic of this, so give them credit. Over the last 5 years and now one game, he's led the league in turnovers the last 5 years. I mean, you're not beating Kansas City and Cincinnati in playoff games doing that. And by the way, in the last 3 years, the Bills, they've had their season end to those teams. They're 0-3 against those teams in the playoffs.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
The Ravens get together this week. The Ravens won against Houston. They are the walking wounded. They are missing a million guys. J.K. Dobbins out for the year with a torn Achilles. They are banged up on the offensive line. Linderbaum and Ronnie Stanley. That game in Cincinnati. So the Bengals trying to get to even at 1-1. We'll talk about that game a little bit more later. All right. After week one, I always try to take stock of this, because it's interesting and it's fine to go back and look and see if it like actually stuck or if it didn't stick at all and it was just week one weirdness. Who was your biggest surprise in week one, and who was the team that you were most disappointed in week one?
Yeah, for a surprise, I'm going to brag a little bit because I shouldn't be surprised. I picked the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in our picks for the week at MMQB. I was the only one, so I wanted to kind of pat myself on the back there. But it's still a little surprising, the Buccaneers, you know, doing what they did against the Vikings and, you know, I don't know how much I believe in the Buccaneers moving forward. I just know Baker Mayfield is a roller coaster. So that when you're so uneven, that doesn't really lead to good results overall. But I know Baker could play, you know, and shine for a game or two. And I thought maybe this one he'll get him. And that's what occurred. And for the biggest disappointment for me, it was definitely the Chargers. Like enough is enough with the Brandon Staley defense. And, you know, I got to, you know, cover Staley for a year plus. And, you know, he knows what he's talking about. He when it comes to defense, you know, I feel like he's kind of one of those defensive geniuses, but it's not working. It's not clicking. These guys are not, you know, picking up the defense. Like the first year was the excuse was, hey, it's complicated. Give us another season. Year two, oh, it's the injuries. Year three, everybody's healthy. Khalil Mack, Derwin James, Joey Bosa. And you get lit up by Tua Tagovailoa, who I'm starting to think like he might be a legit top 10 quarterback, but it could be just one really good game against a really bad defense. So I have high expectations on the Chargers. I'm kind of beating myself for picking them to go to the divisional round of the AFC, but that defense is a problem.
Yeah, so the Chargers, we obviously disagreed a little bit on them going into the year, and you may end up well being right, but look, my biggest reason for not picking them to make the playoffs is Brandon Staley. I just, every time I watch that team, I watch him coach them and I say, I have no faith in Staley's ability to get them off the field. And you watch that game and it's over 500 yards of offense for Miami. It was 536, 30 first downs. The Dolphins are missing their left tackle. They don't have a great offensive line. The Chargers registered two quarterback hits, neither one of which coming from Bosa or Mack, by the way. I mean, they gave up 36 points, and the Dolphins had two red zone turnovers and missed an extra point. It was crazy, but to move off of them, who, you know, we actually will talk a little bit about them here in a second when we break down the week two games, but my biggest disappointment was the Steelers, who just, look, I can understand losing the game. Like, that's fine. San Francisco's a really good team. I picked the Steelers like a dope. I'd like to toss that out there.
Same.
The Steelers were just pummeled. It was 200 yards to one at one point in that game. That's impossible. 200 yards to one. A college team could have done better than that. And they were, you know, they score right before the half. And they kind of made it like, oh, it's 20-7. Then they gave it up right away. And that was the end of it. McCaffrey, 65-yard touchdown run on the first drive out of halftime. I think the Steelers will bounce back. I do. But I will also say at the same point, it gave me a lot of pause on Pickett. Pickett was awful in that game. Awful. I mean, there's just no other way to say it. You know, if you're trying to spin it positively, you could say, hey, look, he can't be worse than he was in that game. Fine. He was flat out bad. He threw two picks. He could have thrown more. Fred Warner had one right in his hands he dropped. You just can't go out there. I mean, 31 of 46 for 232 and two picks. I mean, you're averaging 5 yards an attempt. That's backup quarterback stuff. You got to be better than that. And I'll tell you, they're going to face a Browns team on Monday night, and we'll touch on this here in a sec as well. Like, that Browns team got after Burrow in a major way. I mean, Burrow was under duress all game. And then I'll flip it on the other side. My big surprise was the Rams. The Rams went out, and they look pretty damn good. I got to hand it to them. Now, I have doubts about them in terms of that roster, and can they continue to win a lot of games, which Stafford looked excellent. I think you got to give him all the credit in the world. He went out 24-38, 334 yards. And not just the stats, but if you watch, he made some big-time throws. Super impressive. They scored 30 points in the game. I was incredibly impressed on defense. Only giving up 112 passing yards on 26 attempts by Geno Smith. Held down. I mean, Tyler Lockett did nothing. Jackson Smith and the Jigba did nothing. They combined for 5 catches and 23 yards. Even Metcalf, 3 catches and a touchdown, only 47 yards. And the Rams, I mean, all of a sudden, Tutu Atwell's out there. 6 catches, 119 yards. It was impressive. It really was. Right? They surprised me in the way that they played.
Yeah, another disappointment for me would have been the Seahawks, but I saw you're going to talk about the Rams, so I'll take the opportunity to just say, yeah, I don't know what happened with the Seahawks, man. Like, I really had high expectations for those guys, you know, with Geno Smith, and who knows, maybe Jackson Smith and Jigba is not healthy with that wrist injury. Maybe they just didn't expect the Rams to be that good, especially defensively. And Matt, you know, I went to the Rams training camp a couple of times, and you know, after watching them a few times, like, I felt better about the defense. I felt like, okay, I think they might have hit them some, a few draft picks here, and I think they're developing their guys from the 2022 draft. And a lot of these second year guys were out there, like Kobe Durant, Russ Yeast, and I know these aren't household names, but they're making plays. Darion Kendrick, the other DK, not playing against DK Metcalf. You know, Darion Kendrick is aggressive. He gets in trouble, but he's a competitor and he's feisty. And that's what the Rams squad did overall, was, hey, you guys are probably better talent-wise, but we're not going to let up. And I always gave the Rams a chance. You know, I kind of was, you know, wondering, will they tank here? There's so many young guys, but they do have a good coach and Sean McVay. And I was critical of the Rams a year ago, not Sean McVay's coaching, because I knew when you don't have an offensive line and everybody's injured, you can't really do much when it comes to scheming plays and being an offensive play caller. They protect the Matthew Stafford. That was the biggest thing. And one of the things that one of the obvious things that if you saw Rams training camp, Puka Nacua, man, that guy was a star. And sometimes you feel like you don't want to get fooled about a training camp practice and guys running shorts and making plays. But quickly you saw Matthew Stafford trust Puka Nacua. And I started thinking this guy might be the next Robert Woods. And now it might be maybe the next Cooper Kupp. And that's really high praise. But the way he they gained trust from Stafford, 15 targets, Matt, from Puka Nacua, fifth round draft pick out of BYU. When you get 15 targets, you did something right to earn the respect of a Super Bowl winning quarterback, Matthew Stafford. So I think the Rams might be playmakers when it comes to the wild card and hang around. It could still be a long season, but to see Aaron Donald and the young defense, you know, put it on Geno, and then Stafford light it up with Tutu Atwell, who that was my probably biggest surprise. This guy couldn't do much the last couple of years. It's maybe a 40-yard bomb every four games. Now he's actually getting targets and racking up yards. So the Rams could be something there. And then the Steelers, man, I'll keep it here with the Steelers, man. I wanted to make some kind of excuse for the Steelers because you're playing the 49ers defense that's very ferocious. But when you get under 250 yards total, 7 points, or was it 3 or 7 points at home, being coached by Mike Tomlin, you did not put up a fight. And I always love when Mike Tomlin keeps it real and he was honest after the game. Like, they got their butts whooped. And that shows that Kenny Pickett's preseason might have been maybe, I guess, deceiving.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's totally fair. And you mentioned it. And I actually wrote about him, so I really should have mentioned it. But Puka Nacua for the Rams, rookie, fifth-round pick, 10 catches, 119 yards out of BYU. That'll play. That'll work. If he can do that, all of a sudden now the Rams, maybe you'll look at them and go, okay, if Kupp gets back and Van Jefferson, okay, all right, yeah. There's more there than I thought if Nacua can play like that. So kudos to him. Great first game. All right, let's get into week two. We're here, all right? We're not, you know, we got the Vikings and the Eagles to lead off. We got a doubleheader on Monday night with the Panthers and Saints and then the Steelers and Browns. And so let's just kind of get into it. And, of course, we're going to make our picks as well on SI.com, but you're getting a little bit of a preview of some of them. All right, so let's open it up here. The Chiefs, 0-1, going to Jacksonville, 1-0. As we're doing this, the Chiefs are talking in their pressers right now. Chris Jones will play on Sunday. Travis Kelce is going to practice on Wednesday, which you would think would bode well for his availability on Sunday. We'll see how that goes. It's probably going to be having the knee response throughout the week. But the Chiefs are getting their star defensive tackle back. Jacksonville struggled with Indianapolis due to some uncharacteristic turnovers, but finished the job, eventually winning by 10. However, despite the game being the Jags' home opener, the Chiefs are actually favored by 3.5 points in this game. Where do you see this one going? How do you like it?
Yeah, I'm very intrigued about this game. It might be one of the best games of the week. And, you know, I know the Jaguars were a little sloppy offensively, and they probably should have blown out the Colts a week ago. And I kept a close eye on that game because of Anthony Richardson. But some of the throws Trevor Lawrence was making at Calvin Ridley, man, big-time throws, like, you know, beautiful balls. And I think this guy's on the cusp of being a top five quarterback in this league, or who knows, maybe he is. But we could do rankings. Like, actually, you have the rankings every single week. Matt, check that out.
I'm third.
Okay, there you go. Okay, perfect.
He plays absolutely great football.
Okay, so top five is fair enough. And yeah, Trevor Lawrence is a you know, definitely a rising star in this league. But, you know, I feel confident in Andy Reid making the adjustments. And like, he probably saw, okay, maybe don't rely too much on Kadarius Toney. Let's figure out how to, you know, make things work here and maybe spread the ball out to guys who we probably have more faith in. And they said all the right things after the game, right, Matt? Like, hey, we believe in Kadarius Toney. He's going to figure it out. But maybe throw it a little less his way. And because other guys were making plays, the rookie Rice was making plays. Even guys like Watson was making plays. And even the backup, is it Blake Snell, was making a play as a tight end there. So
yeah,
if you get Kelce back, Chris Jones, I feel confident that the Chiefs will avoid an 0-2 start, make the adjustment. They are on the road. It's a little tough there. And the Jaguars are really good too as well. But I think what happened a week ago maybe probably was lingering in their minds for 10 days. Okay, we got to do better and get this win.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. Look, I think Jacksonville's really good. This isn't an anti-Jacksonville pick. It's more of a, the Chiefs lost and they're going to be pissed pick. And I, like, if you were the Jags, the best thing that could have happened was the Chiefs somehow eked out that game. And then it's like, yeah, everybody's 1-0 and it's fine. You also know with the Chiefs, they travel well. So there's going to be some Chiefs fans at that game. In recent years when they've played down there, they've packed that stadium with some red. Look, here's the thing that I look at. So last year, obviously the Jags did not have Calvin Ridley, fair enough. But the Chiefs played Jacksonville twice last season. Okay, they played them on November 13th last year in the regular season. And they played them in the playoffs, of course, in the divisional round. And in those two games, Trevor Lawrence did not do a whole heck of a lot. He threw for 259 in the first game on 40 attempts. He did have two touchdowns, no picks. Wasn't bad. Was just kind of an average game for him. Playoffs, he went 24-39, 217, only 5.6 yards an attempt, a touchdown and a pick. So the Jags in those games scored 17 and 20 points. And in the playoff game, it was 17 with like 5 seconds left to kick the field goal to try to slip an onside kick. Jacksonville struggled twice against Kansas City's defense. That's the concern I have because, frankly, I think Jacksonville is going to have to score a lot of points in this game. I do not think Jacksonville's defense is holding Kansas City down. The Colts are not a good offensive team. They have a bad offensive line. They don't have weapons, and they certainly don't have Patrick Mahomes, although Anthony Richardson, not a bad debut. Nice job. The Chiefs, you know, have a very good offensive line. They have Mahomes. If Kelce's back, now they have this complement where you've got a great player surrounded by a bunch of complementary pieces who now don't have to be a number one like they were with Detroit. I think for Jacksonville to win, they're going to have to get in the 30s in this game. I think that's coming. So I'm with you. I think it's a good game. I just think it means a little bit more right now for Kansas City to go out and find a way. If you're Jacksonville, you're already a game up on everybody in the division. And look, it's personal for you if you're Jacksonville. You want to avenge that playoff loss. But for the Chiefs, I think there's going to be some urgency in this game that maybe there wasn't in week one. I think they find a way to win. All right, let's get into the second game, which we touched on a little bit earlier. Ravens at Bengals. Bengals 0-1. Ravens coming off that win over Houston, but a costly win. So Marcus Williams, pec injury, out for most of, if not all, the year. Harbaugh was a little unspecific there. We know that Linderbaum, the center, he's dealing with a lower body injury, as is Ronnie Stanley. Linderbaum with the ankle, Stanley with the knee, I believe it is, sprains. They are week to week, not likely to play in this game. We'll see if Mark Andrews plays and makes his season debut. He missed the first game with a quad. And then, of course, J.K. Dobbins ruptured his Achilles. He is gone for the year. So the Ravens win, but they lose in a lot of ways as well. Who do you like in this AFC matchup at Paycor?
Yeah, and I'll just start out real quick by saying the Ravens. But after you listed all the injuries and all the concerns, I am not feeling good about it. But I'll put it this way, and I also don't like that they're going to be on the road against the Bengals team that's 0-1. But, you know, with the whole Joe Burrow thing, I think it might take another game to be clicking and firing on all cylinders. With the Ravens, it felt like they were ready to unleash a pretty good passing attack. I know it was the Houston Texans, and you should probably do that week against that bad defense. And, you know, they got the D'Amico Ryans, made it a little better. Who knows? But you saw the glimpse there with Zay Flowers, the rookie wide receiver. OBJ was doing some things, and Rashad Bateman, and they get Mark Andrews. I would feel a lot better about that, but I am concerned about the running back because they don't have J.K. Dobbins. And the other thing about it, maybe I'm talking myself out of it, is like, if you're going to do this really high octane passing attack, at what point do you start saying, I don't like this, I feel uncomfortable? Let's go back to our rushing attack, where we're probably the most productive rushing team of the last 10 years, and you start doing it that way. That might be kind of a crossroads there. But I liked what I saw with Tom Monk in the first game as an OC. I liked Zay Flowers to maybe even be a Rookie of the Year candidate. We'll see. But he did pretty well. So if you're pushing the ball down the field and your offense is clicking while the Bengals are still rusty, I think they might catch him slipping in this game. And I know they're on the road. But And you did scare me with all the injuries there, but I think they have something going, and they might get it for week two.
Okay, fair enough. I like Cincinnati to bounce back, just like I said with Kansas City. I think this is a game where the Bengals, and look, it's even more important for the Bengals because it's another divisional game. Like, for the Bengals, this is, you don't want to start 0-2 in the division. I know they started 0-2 last year overall, and one of them was a divisional loss to Pittsburgh, but you don't want to be in that hole. So, yeah, I think that they bounce back. The Ravens are beat up. Lamar did not play well in week one. He was erratic at times. He was sacked four times. Now he's got a line that's missing, in my opinion, two best players on it. And you're missing the top running back. Now, Gus Edwards, he can run, so I think you're okay there. And Zay Flowers, by the way, looked great in his debut. Nine catches, I believe it was, 78 yards. So he played very well. I think the big question here is, can Baltimore block up front? You know, the Bengals, they have a good rush. Trey Hendrickson's a very good player. Sam Hubbard, they draft Miles Murphy in the first round. You know, so they can get after you a little bit. I like the Bengals to bounce back. It's an AFC North game. It'll be tight. It'll be physical. We saw last year in the playoffs, Tyler Huntley almost won the game, right? So I'm not sleeping on Baltimore, but I do think the Ravens, if they lose this game, not the end of the world. It's a road game for the Bengals. Got to find the way to win it.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
All right, let's go third game. We're staying in the AFC. In fact, actually, the best five games of the week, I didn't even realize this when I wrote it down, all in the AFC. So it's an AFC bonanza.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, look at that. This game, some people might argue whether or not it's one of the best games. I find it very interesting. The Chargers are at the Titans. They're both 0-1. Chargers, we talked about earlier, they lost 36-34 at home to Miami in that shootout. Titans lost a game to the Saints where they couldn't stop kicking field goals, and Tannehill couldn't stop throwing picks. And the result was a very ugly, clunky 16-15 loss in which the Titans got 63 rushing yards from Derrick Henry and 198 passing yards from Tannehill on 34 attempts. And, oh, by the way, he also threw three picks. The game's in Nashville. Chargers coming cross-country, early window. Chargers favored by 2.5. Do you like the Bolts to get to 1-1, or do you like the Titans in their building?
I like the Chargers, but, you know, only because I don't trust Ryan Tannehill to, you know, get, you know, more than 17 points. And, you know, I guess D-Hop did some things in his first game with the Titans, and I don't know about Treylon Burks, what he'll do in year two. Derrick Henry didn't have his Derrick Henry game, but, you know, they were playing a pretty good Saints defense. I probably should give the Saints defense a lot more credit because then you're playing the Chargers defense. You're going to probably have a better day against that poor defense of Brandon Staley. So, but I think maybe the one thing I really noticed in the Dolphins game, Matt, was, you know, for some reason, I think maybe Kellen Moore was getting orders from Brandon Staley, run the ball more because my defense is gas out there. We can't keep up. Because you have Justin Herbert, Tua's pushing the ball down the field, getting more. Like, I think he got like 43 passing attempts, and Herbert got like 30 something. So maybe they finally say, you know what, we got you here for a reason, Kellen Moore, to be aggressive, to push the ball down the field, and you get 20 points, you'll be okay. So I'm not confident in the Chargers at all, but I think they make that adjustment to be aggressive. Very good Titans defense, by the way. They're good front. But I think they'll get some maybe 20, 24 points, and that could be enough. If they get 33 like they did last year, 34, they're going to blow out the Titans.
Yeah, I agree with that portion of it. Look, I'm taking Tennessee, and this is the game that I am maybe setting myself up for. To me, it's just like my lock of the week of these games that are back and forth. Like, not, I mean, I'm not saying it's more likely than like a game that's like Dallas and the Jets, okay? But my reasoning, again, not to beat an unbelievably dead horse at this point, is Staley. I don't trust him against Vrabel in this game. This game's in Tennessee, and you know, with Tennessee, they're going to run the ball. They're going to get after Herbert with their front four. You mentioned that they hit Carr 10 times in New Orleans, and they sacked him 4 times. Autry is a very underrated player up front. They still have Harold Landry, who missed all of last year with a blown-out knee. They have Arden Key, who had a sack and a half in New Orleans. They have Jeffrey Simmons, who is an elite defensive tackle next to DeNico Autry. I just look at the Chargers and say they don't know who they are because they never knew who they are, whereas the Titans know exactly who they are. And it's going to be, here it comes, Derrick Henry and some safe passes, and they're going to play defense. I think this game's like 22-20. I think it's ugly. It's mucked up. But I like the Titans. I don't love them as a team. I think they're very limited offensively as a team, but I trust the coach in this game. And I really don't trust the coach in the other game. So, or in the other sideline. So I will go with the Titans. We're on opposite sides there for the second time in 3 games. All right. The Dolphins at the Patriots. This is a Sunday night game. The Dolphins are laying 2.5. They are favored at Foxborough. How the times have changed. The Dolphins, we of course just talked about it, sort of scored 36 points, 2 almost for 500 yards. Tyreek Hill led the NFL in receiving last week, 215 yards, 2 touchdowns. New England, horrible start against Philadelphia, pick 6 with Darius Slay, but then they rallied, they came back, they made it a game, they fell shy, losing in the dying minutes to the Eagles at home. Do you like them to even their record here now that they have a second straight home game at Gillette?
I want to pick the Patriots because I really hate picking all the road teams. It's gonna be 4 in a row, so I am gonna go with the Dolphins. And this is I won't get in trouble next week if these picks are terrible. All the road teams are losing because that means I got caught with overreaction week one. And because I really like the Dolphins offense, and I know the Patriots defense is really good. You know, they did struggle a bit, but when you have Mike McDaniels, like you're talking about the coaching match with Vrabel and Staley, like. I could definitely say Bill Belichick figuring out Mike McDaniel's offense and kind of you know turn back the clock and do what he used to do all the time with his great coaches. So I would not be surprised, but I was in person in L.A. watching Tua, you know, light up with Tyreek Hill, and it wasn't just backyard football. You know, Mike McDaniel, man, I wrote about it in my coaching spotlight for today. Like, you know, this guy's a great, you know, as offensive play caller. He designs great plays to get guys open. Everybody knows Tyreek Hill's going to get the ball. But how do you get him the ball? And to design plays like that was pretty fun to see. And then who knows? Maybe it could be another Jalen Waddle game where he pops off. He didn't really do much against the Chargers. So, and the running game, maybe you want to run the ball a little more. But when you have two throwing for 500 yards, I think that's okay too. So, again, it's kind of like similar to what the Tennessee Titans and the Chargers. If the Dolphins get 20-something points, I feel confident in Tua over Mac Jones.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm taking the Dolphins. I know this is a game that there's a little bit of that classic week one stuff, right? Like, this could be where all you have seen is Tua lighting up the Chargers and the Pats losing. And I would not be shocked at all if Belichick puts the handcuffs on this offense and we're sitting here going, oh, look at that, 20-17. This of all the games we're picking is the one I think the Dolphins are the better team, but this is that classic Belichick. Like, we're going to double hill. We're going to take everybody away. I'm going to take the Dolphins in a tight game, grind it out, maybe a three-point win. I think Miami does have much more talent, but this is that game that I look at and go, am I overreacting to week one? Because I could see New England finding a way here. It's an important game for the Pats. It's at home. But I think the gap in talent is too big. The only other thing I will say, the Patriots can get after your quarterback. Matthew Judon and Josh Uche can play, man. And if people aren't familiar with them, they ought to get familiar with them. Those guys, I think Judon at this point is pretty much a household name. Uche maybe not as much. Very, very, very good player. That is the one thing. Like, if Armstead doesn't go in this game, can New England do what LA couldn't? Can they just get after Tua, bring him down, harass him? Because the defense, by the way, was very good for New England. Philadelphia only had 251 yards of offense. I mean, they did not do a lot in that game. And Philadelphia is more talented than Miami is. And Miami's talented, but Philadelphia's another level. It'll be interesting to see how it goes. They did sack Jalen Hurts 3 times in that game, including, by the way, a corner blitz from Christian Gonzalez, the rookie, and the other 2 sacks, guess what? They were from Judon and Uche. But we were both, despite all those things, taking the Dolphins, and we'll see how things play out. All right, last one, Monday Night Football, Steelers hosting the Browns. The Steelers, of course, 0-1. We talked about them earlier. The Browns 1-0 coming off of a triumphant win over the Bengals, and because of that, they are favored on the road 2.5 points. Do you like Cleveland? Do you like Pittsburgh?
Yeah, this won't be a week one overreaction because the Steelers got embarrassed in week one. I am going to go with the Steelers. Finally, a home team for me. I cannot go 5 teams that are a road team, so 1 at home, Steelers. I'm not confident in Kenny Pickett, but, you know, sticking to the theme here of coaches, I trust Mike Tomlin to get his team together after whooping like that a week ago. I don't think he's going to let that happen, 2 weeks in a row. So at least they're going to put up a fight, be more competitive. I do trust the Steelers. Like it was such a bad game that we forget how talented this squad is. You know, we didn't see much from George Pickens, Najee Harris. I think Deontay Johnson might have got hurt, right?
At least a month with a hamstring.
That sucks for them. But, you know, they do have some guys. I don't know how much faith they have in Allen Robinson, but we'll see what they do offensively. But, you know, Deshaun Watson struggled, and the Steelers still have a very good defense. You know, T.J. Watt, Minkah Fitzpatrick, you know, maybe they bounce back and they just keep doing what the people have done on the Browns offense. They can't get in sync, and that helps out there. So the problem is going to be Kenny Pickett. Can you score against Myles Garrett? And I don't feel that confident. That's a really good Browns defense. They showed me something. You know, Za'Darius Smith, Dalvin Tomlinson, a very good secondary. So that could be a problem. But a divisional game, you know, at home, after being embarrassed, I'm just going to just trust Mike Tomlin to get it figured out for his guys, and we'll see what they do. I'm not confident, but I got to get a home team. Give me the Steelers.
Well, I feel pretty good about it. I'm with you. I'm taking Pittsburgh. I feel like Tomlin is going to get that team ready for this game. And look, I watched that whole Browns game. I watched every play of it. Watson was awful. Awful. If he doesn't play better than that, like if you're a Browns fan, you should be thrilled to death to beat the Bengals and you beat them the way you did. I'm not saying you shouldn't be, but that is a concern. I mean, Watson was hideous in that game. And it wasn't just the numbers. Like, if you watch, he had guys wide open. I mean, the Bengals could have lost that game by 40 points. If Watson could hit anybody, they very well might have lost by 30-plus. That said, I think, look, Pittsburgh, I think the defense is good and it's prideful. I think they'll play well. Pickett's going to have to manage the game a little bit. Deontay Johnson's out. They have other players who can step up. I think it's a good game, but I like Pittsburgh at home. If it was in Cleveland, I'd pick Cleveland. I'll take Pittsburgh at home. And again, it's kind of like we've talked about with some of these 1-0 and versus 0-1 teams. There's more at stake for the teams that are 0-1. Not to say that, look, if the Bengals or the Chiefs lose this week, that they're done. I mean, those two teams are still teams you look at and go, yeah, I'm sure they'll be in the playoffs and they'll be a factor. But, like, you don't want to start 0-2. It's not a death sentence necessarily, but it's not great, right? I mean, it's certainly not. You now have to dig out, essentially. Whereas if you're 1-1, okay, you're fine. You're fine. You're where you need to be, and you can go forward. All right, we're gonna wrap it here in a second. What do you got going on in your life, man? What's happening?
Yeah, you know, kind of behind the scenes here of recording from home. You know, good timing. You know, we started the show. My cat is really on something right now. I don't even got catnip, and he's really excited to kind of just, you know, mess with my equipment here. But he's coming back right now, so it's good timing. I think he's ready to hang out with me. But other than fighting with my cat. Like I mentioned last week, like my girlfriend, she's really into Halloween, and I don't really like to go out as much nowadays, especially not around teenagers. But I'll give you a preview of my weekend. We're going to go to Halloween Horror Nights at Universal City. City Walk, or I forget what it's called, Universal City. So
yeah.
She really likes doing the whole mazes and haunted kind of houses, and she's been excited. I'm going to dread the lines, Matt. I'm going to keep it real. She probably might hear me right now, but to be in a bunch of lines, so maybe get on 3 or 4 mazes or rides, I'm not looking forward to it. But again, I'm doing my part. And maybe I'll give you more exciting stories next week that it's not me just doing my part for my partner here. But, you know, maybe it could be fun. Maybe we check out, I really like the show The Last of Us on HBO. So maybe that maze there at Universal City could be a fun one. But I'm not going to be happy about dealing with the teenagers. People trying to scare me, but it's something, right?
It is. It keeps you busy. Teenagers are the worst. Terrible people. I hear you, man. My wife is very into Halloween. Every, you know, when it's October, she'll watch a scary movie every night. I will not. Like, I'm not against them. I just think a lot of them are just, they're just dumb. Like, they're ridiculous. Like, the plots are just, I mean, Jason, like, 38. You know, like, I'm sorry. I can't. Like, intellectually, I just can't get past the fact that we're now trying to make this like the 38th movie of this guy. I remember like when I was in college, like Saw, like those were big movies, and I watched them, but then like by the fourth one, I'm like, how many times can we do this? Like what is happening now? Right? I mean, let's go sit down and watch like Tommy Boy and have a laugh. I don't care.
There was a movie that he went into space. That's when I kind of lost it with Jason there, by the way.
That's a lot. Yeah. I hear you, man. Good luck with that. I know once October begins, I'll be hearing,
It's still halfway September, and here we are, man.
Yeah, you start early. You're starting real early. See, the nice thing for me is well, she's soon to be 6. So and this will dovetail into what I'm going to say, and we'll get out of here. But my daughter, she loves Halloween. By the way, it's funny because she is going to dress up as Taylor Swift, because Taylor Swift is her entire life right now. And Maisie is a Chiefs fan. She knows Patrick Mahomes. She knows Travis Kelce. It's like her dream to basically meet them. But in any event, now there's all these rumors swirling about Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. And
oh, yeah.
Maisie's like worlds collided. She was like, what? She's like, has anybody seen Travis Kelce with his arm around Taylor Swift? I was like, I don't know, honey. Why? She's like, because then they're definitely boyfriend and girlfriend. I was like, okay, good. I'm glad to know that. So that's my daughter's definition of that. So we got to keep eyes out for this. But yes, her worlds are colliding. She is into dance as well. She did dance last year for the first time. She loved it. She's very naturally rhythmic, which she certainly gets that from her mother. Because if you watch me dance, it looks like somebody has to call the paramedics. She, though, last year she did like tap dance and jazz and ballet. This year she's doing hip hop. She's got great rhythm for it. Like, she really is like legitimately good. I'm not just saying, I'm not being like the father who's like, oh no, my kid's really good. And then you watch that kid and you're like, what the hell's going on over there? Like, she actually has really good rhythm. So I said, Maisie, you should try hip hop. I think you'd be really good at it. Yeah, I like to do that. Okay. So she's starting that tonight. And, we'll see. We'll keep the audience posted on how this goes. At some point, like June, I think there's a recital, so we got a lot of time. But between Kelce and Swift potentially coming together, and then hip hop dancing, Maisie's world is honing in on her as we speak.
Are you gonna practice the hip hop dance to be a part of this journey for your daughter?
Gilbert, I'm not afraid to say that if I do that, there's a good chance I'm in a hospital bed. But that doesn't mean I won't step up to the plate. If she asks me to help her, I will absolutely do my best. I would hope that my wife, who is far more limber than I, steps up, or my sister-in-law, who was a dancer for like 15 years. So that would be, those people probably would do a better job. I probably will end up blowing out my Achilles or a hamstring or, you know, anything down there. But yeah, man, if she needs the help, I'll be there to, there to support her in all avenues.
You are a journalist, so maybe your job could be to figure out more about Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce and get some more information for your daughter there.
I'll reach out. You know, my old place of work, I had Travis Kelce on my podcast once, so and we hit it off very well. So maybe I'll reach out to Trav and to his people. Hey, man, give me the scoop. You guys, you guys together, what's happening? If Maisie, I'll tell you right now, if they do get together, if they are together, whatever it is, if she shows up at a Chiefs game and Maisie sees that, her head will actually explode off her body. That'll be, Maisie loves the Chiefs and she loves her. She would not know what to do with herself. I'm actually taking her to a Chiefs game this year. We're going to go when they play Denver on Thursday Night Football. She was annoyed with me when I went week one to cover the game. She couldn't understand why she couldn't go. And I'm like, honey, I can't take you in the press box. So we're going to go. I'm going to take her like just as a fans thing. We'll go to the game. We'll have fun. You know, no pressure. But yeah, if Taylor Swift shows up in a box at a game, that's it. Maisie's going to be ready to move to Kansas City. So I've accepted that in my life.
If that happens, we're going to start the next podcast with that topic. I got to know information about how she did if that occurs.
Okay. I will keep you and the audience updated. And listen, everybody, thank you so much for joining us, for listening to the show, both for our episodes and when Connor and Albert are on as well, along with Mitch Goldish, our editor, who does great work. God bless me. I have to make sure I don't screw anything up. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or wherever you get your pods. Leave a rating, leave a review, and if you leave a question in the review, we will answer it. I check every week. We will get that done. Thank you so much for listening. For Gilberto Manzano, I am Matt Verderam, and we'll be back again next week. Enjoy week two of the NFL season.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.